This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. Political campaign, we often see candidates for office patting little children on the head and kissing small babies. They do this at times not because they especially love children, but to create a certain image before the public. They feel that this will help them get more votes. In our studies today, we'll notice that the Lord Jesus took time out of a busy schedule to hold some children in his arms. He did it because he genuinely loved children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. We're studying together this week the 10th chapter of Mark. And I'm going to ask Ken Brooks to read this section, Mark 10, verses 13 to 16 in the New American Standard Bible.
And they began bringing children to him so that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them.
If you remember in our last lesson, we took up the subject of divorce. It's interesting that this scene with the little children follows immediately here in the Gospel of Mark. Surely we will agree that children suffer most in many divorce cases. The disciples here tried to keep the parents from bringing the children to the Savior. Now, I don't think it was because the disciples hated children. I think they were trying to protect the time of the Lord Jesus, feeling that with his busy schedule, he just didn't have time for children. However, the Savior taught them otherwise. One translation says that he was very displeased with the disciples. The Savior loved little children. He loved them then, and he still does today. We read much today in our papers and news magazines about children being beaten by their parents and being injured for life. Statistics tell us that this is on the increase. But there's still one who loves little children, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a real need to reach children for him, to let the children know of his love. Often we have children in our Sunday schools, in our children's classes, in our neighborhoods, whose hearts are crying out for someone to love them. It is for us to show love to these children, and then point them to the Lord Jesus, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. After the children, a young man came to the Savior. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18.
And as he was setting out on a journey, a man went up to him and knelt down before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone."
Matthew tells us that he was a young man. Later in the story, we learn that he was rich. Somehow he had discovered that money does not satisfy. It's kind of like salt water. The more you drink, the more you want. He desired something more than money. He was interested in eternal life. Certainly, he had come to the right person. The rich young man called the Lord Jesus good teacher. We've noticed that the Savior often does this. He started right there and asked the young man a question. The young man asked him a question, And he asked a question back. Here's the question. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And here was an opportunity for the young man to declare his faith, to say that he believed that the Lord Jesus was God. It was as though the Lord Jesus said, God alone is good. Thou callest me good? Go further and pronounce me God. Or, God alone is good. Thou dost not believe me to be God. Thou dost not believe me to be God. Call me not good. When a person is face to face with the Lord Jesus, he must decide. There is no neutral ground. The young man failed in his first test, but the Lord Jesus goes on.
You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. And looking on him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But at these words his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property.
As we look over the commandments, one of them seems to be out of order. The Lord Jesus mentions the matter of honoring his father and mother near the end, when it really comes first in this list. Was it put near the end on purpose to remind the young man that he had really failed in that area too? We're not sure. But one point is clear, the Savior pinpoints the idol in the young man's life. He had made a god of his money and would under no circumstances part with it, even if it cost him eternal life. The story is so important that it's found in three of the Gospels. Mark alone notes that the Lord Jesus looked on this young man and felt a love for him. The Savior saw the great potential of his life and wanted him to have the best. But no, he chose the treasure on earth. Do you think he ever found satisfaction? Cecil Rhodes, at 27, founded the De Beers Mining Company. In 8 more years, he was dictator of the South African mining industry. At 36, he was the prime minister of the Cape Colony. He became rich. He became powerful. Once he was asked, Rhodes, are you a happy man? Me? Was the reply, me happy? No. If all the gold in the world were melted down into a cube, it would be about the size of an 8-room house. Would all this gold make one person happy? No. The Lord Jesus commented on all of this to his disciples as the young man went away grieved.
And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Mark 10:23-25.
This was difficult for the disciples to understand. Jewish thought was that if a man pleased God, he could expect material blessings. This is the way it was in the Old Testament. Abraham was a rich man, so was David, Job, and others. Here the Lord Jesus is presenting a new concept. The New Testament spiritual blessings were stressed far more than material blessings. He urged men to lay up treasure in heaven. Peter, James, John, and Paul were probably not rich men. Well, as we close our studies today, one question. Where are your riches? The Lord Jesus wants you to have treasure in heaven. Trust him as Savior. Obey him, and you will have treasure in heaven.
God be the Lord. God be the glory.